All right, welcome back, friends. So we have to talk about the religious life as it really existed, as opposed to the ideal that the superior provost was in. So the world into which Pope Leo XIV was being formed was not one of calm certainty. After the Second Vatican Council, the Church saw waves of change, many welcomed, others deeply disorienting. The years of his formation were marked by dramatic tension, religious orders struggling with declining vocations, and formation houses beset by novelty, doctrinal confusion, and in some cases, revelations of abuse. These were not abstract issues. They shaped the lived reality of every aspirant, every brother, every priest. When Provost became the Prior General of the Order of St. Augustine in 2001, he inherited more than governance. He inherited crisis, expectation, and suspicion. His term, 2001 to 2013, lay across some of the Church's most scrutinized in decades. Vocations were dropping. In 2023, for example, 87% of religious superiors in the U.S. reported that their institutions had no members professing perpetual vows, up from the 82% the year before. Consecrated religious and seminarians continued to decline broadly, even while the laity worried about preserving the faith's integrity. Formation houses often became battlegrounds for competing visions of religious life. Some embraced liturgical and theological novelties without sufficient grounding. Others felt that moral standards were being relativized. In some houses, there was confusion about authority and obedience. Some religious departed their vocations altogether because what they encountered in formation did not align with what they believed they were called to. These departures were painful, both for those who left and those who remained. At the same time, abuse scandals, sexual, spiritual, and emotional, cast long shadows. The Church's credibility was deeply injured. The faithful demanded accountability, transparency, and reform. Orders and dioceses alike were called upon to examine their formation programs to ensure that they were not places where error or permissiveness had taken root. In that troubling soil, Prevost's leadership in the Augustinian order was put to the test. Did his order escape these trials? Not entirely. Public reporting has identified instances during his leadership as provincial and as prior general, in which disciplinary decisions were questioned, including the housing of a priest accused of abuse under suspicion, and the tension between canonical law, pastoral care, and public trust. Yet there were also reports of his insistence on fidelity to the rule, on restoring clarity in formation, on accelerating reforms in oversight and discipline within the order. These efforts were not always visible. Some lay and religious saw them as too slow, but they were present. What seems clear is that Prevost's education, dissertation, and Augustinian formation did not shelter him from crisis. Rather, they gave him tools to perceive dissonance, to insist on truth, to believe that religious orders are not called to dominance or comfort, but to holiness, clarity, and renewal. These years of upheaval refined more than they broke. As friends on the journey, we might ask together, in what way do current religious vocations still carry the marks of this past turmoil? How might Leo XIV's early experience shape how he responds to dissent, error, and scandal in his own pontificate? And perhaps most importantly, how do we, alongside him, learn to live as disciples, regaining trust that was broken by human failure in the church. Trust between laity and clergy, between novices and superiors, and between the faithful and the institution meant to guard them, while never losing sight of Christ, who is the originator and interpreter of truth. The jury is still out on the judgment of this papacy. These questions remain open, but asking them in faith allows us to keep watch together with hope. anchored in Christ.
That's quite a, I mean, you and I are very close to the generation of Pope Leo, and we grew up underneath all of those things and all of the problems that have been present within the church. I don't think that anyone could stand up and argue and say that with perfect clarity that the church is going in the right direction, right? The question then remains to be, how does one correct that ship? And as I was saying to you before, that when you are trying to correct the course of a ship that is as big as the bark of St. Peter, you have two options. One, to immediately stop, right, which risks knocking chairs and people and different things overboard and a tremendous loss of momentum. Or you can allow the ship to continue its turn quicker through the left to begin that turn back to the right so that you don't lose momentum and you don't really upset anyone who's on board. As a matter of fact, there is some element to that where the people who are on the ship won't really even know that you're changing course until they see the sun on the other side of themselves, right? And I'm hopeful that maybe that is the course that Leo is projecting for us, which means that those of us who are aware, those of us who are watching the horizon, we're seeing the ship go further and further to the left, wondering what is going on, what is going on, what is going on, right? Until that center, until we pass, right, that degree where left becomes right. And then maybe we will be able to see the prudence of this pontificate rather than stopping the ship and risking loss, instead of permitting the ship to turn faster on its course in a circle so that it can begin setting forth a new path. At least that's a hope.
I think that's a very fair hope. All right, friends, let us pick up in the next episode with his lived experiences in Peru. Till then, vide sed ratio.